Oh, so funny. You guys saw the agent, I'm sure, right?
Of course,
Yes, we saw it, yeah.
yeah. I think that was the big thing. Him and his dad, him and the agent and his
Oh
dad
my
kissing each other's cheeks.
God. Kissing and the tailgate beforehand. And I mean, I'm from Jersey, so it's like
It's Ed Orgeron becoming the coach of LSU more than anything. If the guy works out, it is funny because it was like I had two posts next to each other. One that said, "Oh, like here it is, his agent," and then the one right below it showed that he's making $420,000 for the season. I'm like, well, he needs to be mad at his agent.
Yeah.
That's it.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast. Hey, what's up, Who Dat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. This is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Jeff. And on this episode, we have Alex from The Giant Take, which is the official Giants podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. And we're going to talk about the upcoming Saints-Giants game featuring two of the NFL's most prolific offenses in what's sure to be the highest scoring game of the season. Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry, somebody typed over my intro here. Featuring two of the NFL's most underperforming offenses and what's sure to be a game where every bettor takes the under. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Along with Alex from The Giant Take, we also have Wesley, James, and Jason from the Dome Patrol Podcast. Hey, everybody, how are you doing?
All good?
Doing all right.
All right. So let's jump into it. Yeah, this is the preview game. We talk about the Saints Giants. It is Sunday at noon Central Time. First question I'll throw out to you, Wesley. Hit Alex with the hardball.
So, like, Alex is all this real? Is DeVito just a local guy that's going to be this great story? Is he going to be able to have a winning record? Can he replace Daniel Jones? Like, what's going on with DeVito? Tell us what's up.
I mean, it's a crazy, crazy story. I mean, it's so funny because he lives 10 minutes down the road from me back at home. So it's like he's basically my neighbor. And the fact that he lives at home, his mom makes his bed, eats chicken cutlets for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The whole family is your stereotypical Italian-American family. And the dad, and then obviously in this game, the Monday Night Football against the Packers, we had the agent come out. It was like a special character coming
You're
into the mix.
right.
And
was that on purpose, or is that actually what the agent
this
looks
does
like?
Look like a sitcom about somebody being a quarterback for the New York Giants, like more than it looks like something that's actually happening. Like, I don't know anybody who doesn't laugh at this. Like, it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. And what I really, you know, I first saw the picture of the agent, I'm like, this has to be fake. Like, they must have hired the guy. And I look back and, like, it went on his signing day when he signed with the Giants. There the guy is. You
like,
know,
does that guy work
agent.
In waste management? Can you confirm or deny whether or not he works in waste management?
I saw he's making the calls to, you know, tear Daniel Jones' ACL, or, like, you know, knock out everyone else so that Tommy can play. It's a wild ride. And, you know, I think Peyton Manning, I was watching a little bit on the Manning cast, he was like, they're showing more of Tommy DeVito's family than they do Taylor Swift in the Chiefs games now. So yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, all jokes aside, he's been pretty decent for us. You know, he's not you know, probably the future of the Giants, as some are making it out to be. But he was, you know, pretty decent in his first two starts. And after the bye week, there was noticeable improvement in how he dealt with pressure, how he read defenses. And I think overall, you know, he's been a startable QB, and putting up 24 points, the Packers defense isn't half bad. So the first two wins, we have Washington and the Patriots, obviously not two super impressive wins, but Packers, a team that are in the playoff hunt. And, you know, Tommy DeVito, he stepped up to the challenge, had a 2 minute drive to get in field goal range, and had that clutch pass to Wandale Robinson that led to that Randy Bullock, you know, game-winning field goal. So he definitely has the it factor. The real question is, can he sustain it, you know, in the weeks ahead?
Yeah, like, so is he Gardner Minshew or Jeremy Lin, or is he actually good at the sport? Like, I mean, we're not going to know that for a while, but, like, you see these guys that, like, go on these runs and everybody gets, like, kind of excited about it, and it's a fun story, and you know, it's
I don't think he's going to be Brock Purdy. I don't think he's going to be that.
Yeah, right.
I know there's a lot of people, a lot of Giants fans, I should say, I'm going to specify that, who are, you know, all over the place, that he's going to be the next Brock Purdy. I saw someone comparing, I actually think it was in a press conference to Brian Daboll, where they were like, oh, you know, so this, they were like bringing up Tom Brady, 199th overall pick. And Dable's like, stop right there. It's four games. It's four games. Like, let's calm down here. But yeah,
I would have to film imagine
it's, yeah, it's going to be more of a Minshew, Jeremy Lin type thing. He's not an NFL starting caliber quarterback, I don't believe. But I was wrong that I didn't think he could win any games with the Giants as a starting QB, and he's proved me wrong there. I called for Tyrod to be starting last week when he went and got off IR, and I said, there's no way that Tommy DeVito is a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. To be fair, I still don't think that's the case, but I've been proven wrong a lot this season, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I mean, a lot of this is the underperformance of Daniel Jones. He may not be one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world, but he might be better than Daniel Jones.
Who has the worst contract right now, Daniel Jones or Derek Carr?
Probably
worse
Daniel
for
Jones,
the team or worse for the quarterback?
I mean, Carr's is pretty bad, and Carr's been absolutely terrible for him. So.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Carr has a out after the second year, correct?
Third. But third. Essentially, it's like a three-year, $100 million deal.
Okay. Yeah, third, yeah. So Jones has a out after the second year, but I think it's like 20-something million dead cap. So,
I think that's similar with Carr. Like, we can get out after two, but there is still...
But we can't. So here's the problem, and I will hit this real quick. This is actually for another show, but the Derek Carr's contract, if we could just afford to let it sit the way it is, we could get rid of him after a couple years. The problem is that without restructuring Derek Carr's deal in the offseason, we cannot field a 53-man roster. We don't have the money. The only way we can, and I'm not even talking about a good roster, I'm talking about to field
any
53-man roster,
53 players.
We have to renegotiate his deal, which then hurts us for 2025 as well. So we have this kicking the can down the road that's worked so well for the Saints for years, and everybody's thought we had problems. It wasn't a problem until you spent $100 million on a bad quarterback. Now it's, yeah. I mean, you have no choice and no way to get rid of him. It only works if you draft and sign good free agents.
Yeah, I think I look at Derek Carr, and I thought I liked that signing for you guys, to be completely honest.
We did too.
We liked it in the spring.
Yeah, I was like, he's going to be a solid guy. You don't really need someone.
That's all we needed.
Go out there. You just need a game manager, a guy who can make the key passes when he can. And to an extent, he has been that a little bit, but it's just been so much inconsistency that we're not used to seeing from him in his time in the Raiders. And
I think there's more off the field now too, that like it's beyond just what he's doing,
he's
for 3 hours on Sundays, to where he's losing the team.
He came in at first and really endeared himself to the team with work ethic and saying the right things. And now he's gone the opposite way by kind of being a crybaby.
Yeah.
Right. And
he'll call out everybody else for
if
what
he makes
mistakes they're making.
Yeah, if he makes a mistake, it's okay, guys. We're going to be real positive, and we're not going to talk about the negative. We're just going to move on, and we're going to do better next time. If anybody else makes a mistake, he scrunches up his face and throws his fists in the air, and it's over and over again. Like, it's really weird.
He's
to see
actually
a 30-year-old quarterback.
More, yeah, he's making more mistakes than the rest of the team combined. But that's not important, right?
Yeah, you saw some of the players actually turn on him. So one player in particular turn on him on Sunday, the center, Eric McCoy. They had a real, real big shouting match on the field as they were finishing a play and as they were walking off the field. So it's starting to be seen in public that the team aren't exactly thrilled with Derek Carr.
Wait, we're talking about Derek Carr. Tell us about the Giants defense. Like, what is y'all's strength of y'all's defense? Are y'all going to get pressure on the quarterback? Are y'all going to make Derek Carr move around? Like, what's that look like?
Well, so obviously the main guy on our defense is Dexter Lawrence. I mean, he got paid big in the offseason. And lucky for you guys, he's nursing a hamstring injury currently. He only played, I believe, 20 snaps last night, Monday Night Football, against the Packers. So I would expect that to go a little bit up against the Saints, but it's not going to go up to his usual level of, he's been playing 85 to 90% of the snaps for the Giants, which is crazy at his size and weight. But, you know, he is the true wrecking ball, especially now the Giants traded Leonard Williams to the Seahawks. So that interior you know, there is some depth there with A'shaun Robinson. You've got Raheem Nunez Roches. So there is some good depth in the run game department. But in terms of going after the passer from the interior, Dexter Lawrence is really the guy who you need to be on the field to get any sort of interior pressure. And then Kayvon Thibodeau has had a really quietly good campaign. He's at 11.5 sacks now. Really should be 12 sacks, but you know, that I don't know how they miscounted that last night, but hopefully they fixed that for my sake. But yeah, he's had a really good season. Azeez Ojulari on the opposite side on the edge has had a really good season as well. So that defensive front can be very potent at times, but like you've talked about with the Saints all season, they're just inconsistent. So, you know, last night against the Packers, they were great. They were fantastic. They were getting after Jordan Love, and they were getting constant pressure, even rushing four. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a couple weeks back against the Patriots, they struggled to get pressure. The week before that against Washington, they struggled to get pressure at times. So it really depends. And obviously you have Wink Martindale, and he's scheming up a lot of pressure. He's bringing the blitz a lot. So that's something that I think the Saints are going to have to adjust to. Are they going to be able, you know, who are they going to bring in as an extra protector? Are they going to have, say, you know, one of their tight ends chip a little bit on the edge? You know, are you going to have Kamara or Jamal Williams, you know, staying in there, not, you know, running routes? I have a quick question for you guys. When I watch Saints games, I notice that Jamal Williams on these passing downs is always playing, and I'm completely confused by that. Do you guys know why?
Our coaches are dumb.
I have a theory.
So many times it's third down and we see Kamara coming off the field. It's amazing, but we were accustomed to just idiotic things. I mean, they just talked about it last week. Jimmy Graham this year has 4 catches, 3 of them are for touchdowns, and he was inactive for like 6 straight weeks in the middle of the season.
When we were terrible in the red
zone. Yeah.
Bring him in the fourth quarter.
You'll hear it again. Yeah. I mean, Dennis Allen is terrible, and Pete Carmichael, our coaching's just terrible. We have idiots.
I think, Wesley, before you go into your theory on it, the one thing I will say about Jamal Williams is you go back and watch some of the plays. Some of his blocks on pass plays have been absolutely superb. That's the only reason I can think of that he's been out there so much for the pass plays is for his blocking, not for anything that he can do getting the ball in his hands.
Yeah, Jamal Williams, so first of all, like on him, you know, he had 18 touchdowns last year, which is insane. And I'll just say that after watching him all year, outside of picking up the blitz, he is not a good football player. He's real energetic, fun to be around, seemed in the offseason like that was going to be a really good signing that was going to keep the chemistry going on the team, and all this energy was going to have results on the field. He's not been good. But beyond that, we for years when had Sean like Payton, Sean Payton was obsessed with being the smartest guy in the room and the smartest guy on the field. And so doing things that were unconventional and surprising people, there's times that it worked, including like the Super Bowl when he does ambush to start the second half of the Super Bowl with an offside kick. And then those times that you're like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, listen, he brought Taysom Hill here, and as much as I love Taysom Hill, he told everybody that Taysom Hill was the next Steve Young, and Taysom Hill is not Steve Young. And it seems like we have lost the creativity of Sean Mormon. Payton, while continuing to have guys who are like, we're going to try and be the smartest guy in the room. So let's, you know, we'll run the ball for 8 or 9. You'll see that this week. We'll run the ball for 8 yards on first down with Taysom Hill. And then we will take him out and try to throw the ball twice. And then we will punt on 4th and 2. And we do it over and over again. Taysom averages 6 yards a carry for his career. But if it's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, he's not in the game. If it's in the red zone, he's not in the game. Jamal Williams in the red zone, not in the game. Jimmy Graham, not even active, but specifically not in the game. It's weird. It's
been very frustrating. And now, you know, this is going to be our 3rd straight home game this week, and the crowd has turned on Allen. The crowd has turned on Carr. So you're going to see it when you watch the game if you haven't checked it out. I'm a ticket holder. I've been to the last 2 games, and it's – the Detroit game was more anger and boos at Carr and cheers when Taysom came in. Last week, there were still boos for Carr, but it was just – there were a lot of empty seats, and the dome was just dead. I mean, when Detroit came in, there were a lot of fans.
Tons.
I'm curious if – I don't know how your fans normally travel. I know New Orleans is usually a good city to go to, but I would imagine there'll be a good number of of Giants fans, and you're going to hear them on the broadcast, and you're definitely going to hear the boos from our fans at Derek Carr.
It's almost a game at this point. The fan, like, that's the only thing we have. Like, you go to the game, there's nothing really fun to watch. So the only thing you go for is you play the boo game every time Derek Carr comes out. Yeah, boo, we got a chance to do something, because we certainly don't have a lot of chances to score.
Yeah, I mean to cheer. Giants fans do travel well. I mean, I remember earlier in the season, Arizona game, we went to the Cardinals. Yeah, it was an away game, and that whole stadium was just Giants fans. So in terms of warmer climate, you know, places, you know, New Yorkers, obviously, when they retire, they end up going down south. They want to go somewhere warm where they can kind of relax. And so when you go to those games in, you know, southern cities, there are a lot of Giants fans. And I know, you know, there's some people that I know that are Giants fans who traveled to New Orleans or went down to New Orleans a couple years back. So I'm sure there's definitely some people who are going down to New Orleans. And I know, like, the Florida games, the Dolphins or the Buccaneers or even the Jacksonville games, like, Giants fans definitely do travel well to warmer climates when they're going up to, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example.
Seattle,
maybe Buffalo? Not as well.
But a shorter trip. Minnesota. Yeah,
Buffalo. You're not making it to Buffalo.
Minnesota, not so much. You know, but for that playoff game, we did travel quite well.
Well, yeah.
We don't talk about Minnesota playoff games here.
Yeah, we don't.
And another thing too is a lot of fans have been selling their tickets. I mean, fans couldn't even give away their tickets to last week's games.
I mean, if you can get a good like JetBlue or Southwest flight for $100 down to New Orleans, then you get your ticket for $30. I mean, and then the hotel is probably one. I mean, it could be a very cost efficient football game, away game.
Probably
to go
cheaper than going to MetLife, to be completely honest.
Yeah, 1,000%. Right.
There were seats this last week. For $15 with the fees included, there were ones that
on like the 40-yard line.
There are ones in the third deck, or not the third deck, the middle section, the 300 section, which are $375 a piece is a face value that we're selling for $35 a piece. And there were ones that were like 18 rows off the field selling for $50 each.
Yeah. It's like, Giants fans, no matter how bad we are, the tickets will always be expensive and they never go down. Maybe they'll go down a little bit.
4 million people to, right.
Yeah. I mean, we were playing the Patriots a couple of weeks back and I was back home for Thanksgiving and I was like, oh, I want to go to the game. It's $100 a ticket minimum, not even including fees. And I'm like, we're at that point 3-8. Like, what are we doing here? Like, our season is over. Why is it so expensive? But
well, that's what you thought.
Yeah.
Back in the hunt.
Cutlets came in, you know.
All right. So back to the like you were saying, the Giants defense versus the Saints offense. The funny thing is looking at this, so average, you're, you know, good and bad, whatever. You're averaging 335 yards a game. That's what you're letting up. Saints offense is averaging 337 yards a game. So,
it doesn't seem like it that much for us. It really
well,
doesn't.
Well, we got a lot of garbage.
Last week, we had 204 yards total offense.
And a lot of garbage.
And scored 28 points.
What really scares me about the game, and we saw it last week with us against Carolina, is the running game against the Saints defense, who's getting older now, and we don't have, you know, our defensive line is kind of struggling. I mean, Carolina ran for 200 yards last week. So how healthy is Saquon? Because that's kind of where I think – you guys can really, really stick it to us because we can't stop the run.
Yeah. I mean, the big issue for us all season has been our offensive line, right? We have obviously all pro caliber tackle and Andrew Thomas, but besides that, everyone else is kind of more makeshift here or there. Evan Neal has been a big disappointment for the Giants ever since we drafted him 7th overall, and he's not been able to stay on the field. We might see him come back for this game. It sounds like there's a good chance he's on track to play, but you know, the interior guys, the guards, Mark Lewinsky, Ben Bredesen, it's kind of been a revolving door in there. And then rookie center John Michael Schmitz, it's obviously tough to come in as a rookie. And we saw as the game developed against the Packers that this offensive line really grows into games into the fourth quarter. But sometimes it's felt like for the Giants this season that the game has kind of gotten out of hand so quickly that by the time the offensive line really gets going, they can't really
focus on the run. Yeah,
exactly. So that's going to be the key thing. I think if the Saints can get off to a quick start against
the Giants, you worry about that. No fear there, sir.
If they hypothetically get off to a quick start, that could be where, you know, they deviate a little bit away from the run game, and then Tommy DeVito starts slinging it, and that's where, you know, things could start getting ugly. But, you know, our offensive line is not really creating a lot of holes for Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is one of the best backs this league has ever seen, so he is able to kind of make stuff out of nothing. Which we're seeing each and every week.
He did that in the fourth quarter yesterday. They did not do him any favors. And then finally he was just like, and then of course he fumbled. I couldn't believe the fumble. That was crazy. But
yeah. You know, so it's a good matchup, I guess. Like you said, your defensive line, it's obviously older. You know, you've got some of your studs. I mean, Cam Jordan's definitely getting up there, and he's been such a pivotal piece for you guys for years now. But yeah, the Giants offensive line, Saints defensive line, I'd say it's pretty much a wash of just two really bad units, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Saquon fan, so I think he's incredible. Yeah. And then y'all having Matt Breida backing him up is a real change of pace problem if you're not going to plug holes and all, because he can hit it too. And then, of course, now y'all have got the running quarterback, which is Saints kryptonite, if there ever has been.
Yards, I believe. 71 yards rushing, I believe he had last night, if I remember.
Yeah, 71, correct. Exactly. That's crazy. Now, what about the other side of the ball? We're talking about, I guess that side of the ball. We're talking about the offense. How about throwing the ball? He was at 99 yards through three quarters, which was higher than what Derek Carr had last week through three quarters.
Three times higher.
But still not impressive.
Definitely not.
And again, it's one of those, I think, is it the consistency? Because every once in a while he rears back and just, slings a beautiful pass. And he's got some receivers with some hands, but is he just inaccurate sometimes?
He's definitely inaccurate at times. He's also afraid to take what the defense gives him at times. You see a lot of times that he's either going to chuck it or take the sack. And that's where he really, the big improvement was after the bye week for him, that he did take some of those checkdowns, took what the defense gave him. And that's been the main improvement. But the Giants, we have a very weird receiving room where we don't have a guy who can really do it all, kind of like Chris Olave for you guys, who's been such a great addition, obviously, even though Derek Carr, for some reason, doesn't seem to want to throw to him. You know, he's better in there when Jameis Winston's at quarterback. I don't understand how that happens. But I mean, our receivers, Darius Slayton, he's a more of a deep threat kind of guy. He doesn't create a ton of separation in the middle of the field. Jalin Hyatt, again, kind of the same deep threat, speedy guy. And you've got Wandale, more of a gadget player. And then you've got Isaiah Hodgins, who's more of a red zone physical receiver. So we don't have a guy who can really do it all. And that's kind of our problem. So during, you know, in between the 20s, we're kind of looking at guys like Wandale Robinson and then there's Saquon Barkley to kind of bring us forward, maybe a deep shot to Slayton or a deep shot to Jalin Hyatt. But we don't really have that guy who we can just every down look for. And I think that's the main problem. And DeVito, he's a young quarterback. He doesn't have a ton of experience. And, you know, there's a lot of these very tight windows. I believe our receivers create the second least separation in the entire football league. At least that was what it was at the bye week. I don't know about the updated ones after last night, but they don't create a ton of separation. And when you don't have a quarterback who's super confident in being able to fit it in those tight windows, that's where you can struggle. And the Saints obviously have a pretty decent defensive back group as well. So,
I think we're still first or second interceptions in the league. Like, we're doing a lot of that, and we're doing that without getting any pressure on the quarterback. That's just how good the defensive backfield is.
And Marshawn Lattimore for the last 3 weeks.
True. Is he going to be back? No. Okay. Yeah.
No.
Not for this game. Probably not for the rest of this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like I said, we don't have like an alpha wide receiver guy that you're going to need that number one receiver or number one corner to go after. But in terms of the passing game, I think the Giants really, we've been seeing they're trying to do an effort to do this, get the ball to Wandale Robinson's hands, get the ball into Saquon Barkley's hands, get into guys who can really make plays after the catch. And I think that's going to be the key thing, is can the Saints wrap up some of these shifty guys like Wandale Robinson, who, you know, he can make one cut and he's gone for 40 yards. And that's going to be the main thing for you guys, I think.
He made an incredible catch last night. And when he did that, I was like, I had no idea he had that in his bag. Like that kind of hands and footwork. Like, I know he's fast, shifty, you know, that kind of player. Had no idea that, and again, maybe he hasn't been consistent either, but the one catch he made on the sideline dragging the toes was an incredible grab.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the Giants. Like, none of these receivers are consistent, so any given game, any one of them could go off, or they could all be terrible. Maybe one game they each have like one catch or no catches, or one game Darius Slayton will go off for, you know, 10 catches for 160 yards. You have no idea. So it really depends on any given week. And, you know, Darren Waller, hopefully he'll be back for the Saints. I give it a 50-50 chance that he's back, but if he's
y'all
back,
put him in on defense.
He had one
likely...
of his career. He had one of his career games against the Saints.
Yeah.
The first game ever in Vegas. But we did not do well with him.
With Derek Carr as quarterback, if I remember rightly.
Yep.
But if you all put Darren Waller in on defense, it's highly likely that Derek Carr will throw the ball to him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe that's the strategy.
But well, the funny thing is, you talk about like catch percentages. I mean, I am looking at this where, yeah, Wandale Robinson is your best with 80%. Everybody else is hovering around that 60%. Yeah. Catch percentage, but the Saints receivers are worse. I mean, we're in the 50s to 60% catch percentages. Even Olave is 62%.
To be fair, Derek Carr does miss a lot of those throws, though. So that's yes. I mean,
right.
Depends what.
Yeah, they're more bad yeah. throws than they
it's
are.
It's more throws. On Carr than it is on right.
Yeah.
Derek Carr makes the Saints receivers look like athletic feats of strength. You know, in order to catch a ball from him, you've got to twist your body or do things that are inhuman.
Yeah, or you know, stop and go back to where you had just ran from,
mm-hmm.
and because it's behind you so much. Yeah,
right.
Now, and Alex, we will get to a score prediction. I was going to say the one thing you said about, you know, why we all laughed when you said something about if we were able to get off to a quick start. We just played the worst team maybe in the history of football, but I mean, like one of the worst teams in the last 10 years. The Carolina Panthers are awful, and we scored nothing in the first quarter against them, and then 2 weeks ago against the Lions. 5.5 minutes into the game, we were losing 21-0.
Yeah.
5.5 minutes. So yeah. we're not too confident that we're gonna get off to a quick start and make you guys a passing offense.
Does a missed field goal True. Count as a quick start?
I don't know. I don't, you know, we don't have, in terms of special teams, our special teams unit is terrible. So that is something to keep an eye on too. Like, we made, obviously the Packers also fumbled, but we had a couple of missteps on special teams. We don't have our starting kicker. Randy Bullock's looked shaky. So that's an area, our punt return game, our kick return game, we're just not very good in the special teams department. So I think that's a key area where, you know, if you guys can get a couple of turnovers in that area that could, you know, maybe you get into the red zone early, easily. And that's where you could get some free points. And I think that's where the Giants have really struggled this season.
Did you say some free points or some 3 points? Because we get in the red zone, we're gonna get some 3 points.
Yeah.
Unless we miss.
Three point attempts. Yeah.
Yeah. You give us 2 turnovers in the red zone, we're gonna come out of that with at least 3.
You guys have a great kicker though, Blake.
You're thinking about the other guy, the Notre Dame, the Cowboys kicker. He's at 80% now.
Really? I had him in fantasy football for a few weeks. He was doing
well. He's
good.
Put up some points because we'd let him kick 7 field goals and
make
5
sense,
of
yeah.
them. So, what a
and wait till you see our punter.
It's not. Yeah. It's you're gonna think that we're trolling you. You're gonna be like, oh, how many punters got hurt before this guy became the punter this year? And this was our starting punter.
Let's just
that we
say
chose.
Before he was punting for the Saints, he was giving tattoos.
He owned a tattoo shop on a beach in. Not Bali.
Thailand. Bali, Thailand, somewhere like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have stuck with
and
that.
And the geniuses that are the Saints front office and coaching staff thought it would be better to bring him on than an established
he's a rugby
NFL
player.
Punter.
It goes back to Australian rugby player.
I really think there's something to your theory about like Sean Payton kind of went left when everybody else was going right, and a lot of times he was right to do it. I do think there's something to this theory where whether it's Dennis Allen or Pete Carmichael or somebody who is trying to be like that, but that's not who they are. Like, quit trying to be the guy who's like, we're going to make it with a tattoo artist as a punter because that's what Sean Payton would have done. Well, I mean, Sean Payton actually probably put a little bit of thought into some of those times when, like, if I'm only going to go left when everybody's going right, when it makes sense to do so, where these guys just seem like every time we're just going to buck the trend to make ourselves It was at once a broken clock's gonna be right twice, right?
The thing is, Alex, and you'll see, so he's averaging 43 yards per kick because 99% of his kicks go exactly 43 yards.
43 yards.
Like he has shanked one, or he shanked like two that he went 28 yards, and then he's had some that like bounced and just some idiot didn't and it just rolled down. But like he kicks the ball 43 yards every single kick. I watched him in warmups at two games this year. He kicks the ball 43 yards. It's the weirdest thing. And he's a professional NFL kicker. Jason, you got a score prediction? You want to start us off?
I actually placed a bet on FanDuel earlier today. I took the Giants money line in the over of 37.5. So I'm going to go with...
Over?
Yeah, I took the over. That's what I do.
Game?
Yeah.
Life's too short to take the under.
The Giants are going to score a lot of points. I think this is 24 to 17 Giants.
If you want to go next, that's fine.
Okay. I like your confidence, but to be completely honest, I think you guys are just the better team. I know sounds.
Yeah, so... yeah. We agree with that. We're just not going to win. we've been the better team in every game.
We have a better roster. Is that what you're saying? We have a better roster.
I think you guys have a better roster. You have a better quarterback, even though Derek Carr has been terrible this year. You have better weapons. Your defense is probably not better, but you know it's not too far behind. I just think you're. I don't think the Tommy DeVito train can keep on going at this high of a level. I think that's really my main issue. So I'm going to go. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring. What'd you say? 37.5. So I'm going to go. I think it'll be just under. I'll go 20-17 Saints.
Ooh, that was going to be one of my options.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
James? Yeah. James is going to predict the Saints are going to win. He will never pick us to lose, no matter what.
Nope. Never will. Never will. So Jason, you said 24-17 Giants. I'm going 24-17 Saints.
Okay. Still going to hit the over.
Right. I'm going to go 17-16, taking the under. And I'm going to say the Saints are going to win it only because they're just going to, they can't do anything right. They need to lose. We want the draft pick. They need to lose. We want to fire Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael. So they're going to win.
I'll go 19-17 Giants. Take the World War One.
I really think it could go either way, honestly. Yeah, like absolutely. It really depends which quarterback's going to be worse, and that's going
to
really.
I think that if you guys just commit to running the ball 45 times, there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. Y'all will run for 280 yards.
Just don't throw it.
But if y'all do this stupid thing, last week Carolina ran for 204 yards. They ran the ball whatever 35 times, then they threw the ball 37 times. And I mean, they have one of the worst passers in the history of football.
It's called a balanced offense.
They ran for 204 yards, 5.5 yards a carry, and then stopped running the ball. I know that you look at the final score and you go, oh, they were down by lots. No, it was a close game. I mean, it was a one score game with in the fourth quarter, and they just screwed around. So if you guys will commit to running the ball, seriously, run it 50 times. There'll be no chance of us beating them.
I'll phone up Dable right now. I'll phone him
up. But if Tommy DeVito is going to just throw the ball to Tyrann Mathieu and Paulson Adebo a couple times, y'all might be in trouble.
All right, well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Dome Patrol Podcast. We're on X at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Also, if you want to participate in game day chat, send us a DM on X. We'll get you an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And as always, don't forget, if you aren't already, subscribe on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating, comment, set up auto downloads so you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. Alex, thanks for joining us from the Giant Take.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, good luck. And we'll have you on next time the Saints play the Giants. Could be next year, since we both have shitty teams.
Could be the NFC Championship game. Could be. Who knows, guys?
Well, I mean, it could be, yeah.
Let's hope for that.
Right? All right, say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, DeVito donkeys.
These little town blues. New York!
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.